In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I want to talk to you today about something very important, where we look at the scripture from a different angle as we did last week. I want to talk to you about God's love for sinners. And you may wonder what this has to do with our scripture today when we read about the paralyzed man. It is actually the true story of love for sinners. And you will see as we talk how much can God come into our life and get involved and help us no matter how sinful we are. But there are a few things that we must keep in mind to allow God to come into our life. As you know, when someone gets healed from a terrible condition, you would expect that this condition will change his life. And it would make sense that he would come back to God. And it would make more sense that he would become a much better person. And if you ask someone, is it true that if we go through like hard time or illness that we'll come back, our answer would be yes. But the truth is, not always. We sometimes forget that illness could be because of our sin. And God wants us to have like a checkpoint here, wake up, you are about to destroy your life with me, and you are keeping yourself far away from me. So I do something that wakes you up, like give you a sort of illness. Is it true that illness related to sin? Let's see, let's find out. In the story today, it says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And as you know, there were three major holidays that required all Jewish men to come to Jerusalem: the Passover, the Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And might have been one of them. But we all know people's problems don't go away just because there is a holiday coming up. And sometimes the depression associated with a physical problem is even more intense during the holidays, because I'm very sick, I can't get up, I can't share with the family, I can't do any activity. And as you will see, the Lord will walk during this holiday time in an area which is full of people who are struggling with all kinds of physical problems. It says in the scripture today, and now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. Let me give you a quick comment here about this area, and you will be amazed to find biblical liberal scholars. They are biblical scholars, but liberal ones. They were saying for years that this pool never existed, and that the whole story must have been made up. And they say that this is another example of how the Gospel of John could not be trusted as a reliable historical document. For almost 2,000 years, they have been attacking the Bible. And guess what? In 1956, archaeologists found the pool next to the old St. Anne Church on the northeast side of town. And a few years later, they found the five covered porches. And the porches were like big outdoor archways which give people shade from the heat. So I tell you that to know that we have the true Bible, the true Word of God, the inspired Word of God, and no one, no matter how much they attack the Bible and the Word of God, they have something for a moment, and you know for sure that our Bible is the Word of God and will be proven true no matter what. And the scripture continues and says, in these days a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. There is no condition of what kind of illness they have. God used to send the angel to go down and stir up the water and heal anyone who goes in first. But you wonder, If you have somebody who was lying down on this area for 38 years, 38 years, what does it mean? Does that mean there is no one who ever cared to see someone lying there for 38 years to come and give him a hand and help out? Doesn't make sense. There must have been something different. It could be the person himself has some sort of an attitude, was a sinful man. Could be his sin was the reason for his illness. Could be the person was very aggressive and was very non-godly person. And how we draw this conclusion, please listen to what happened. A certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years, and when Jesus saw him lying there and knew he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" That is a strange question. If I am sick and you see me lying down for 38 years, what do you mean, do you want to be well? How come? It doesn't make any sense from my point of view if I am the sick man. Of course I want to get well. But if you look again at the question, God has a reason. Do you want to be made well looking at your spirit, at your life? Are you looking at the spiritual healing or the physical healing? Why have you been there for 38 years? People are always good when it comes to helping someone in need. If he is sick or of any kind of illness, people will come forward no matter what happened, unless you turn them away from you and you are not asking for their help, or maybe you enjoy being sick in this way. You like your sin, you like to be in the mud where you are. Do you really want to be made well? The question is not the question for the sick man. I should take the question for myself. It is a question relevant for us today, right now. And we are in the presence of the Lord here in His church. We must ask ourselves, do I want to be made well? Does it have to be only physical illness? How about my spirit? How about my anger, my lust, my problem that I have in life? Am I really living the life of God, the godly life that He is pleased with, or I am only happy with what I am and what I do, and forget what we talked about last week? We must be confronted by the truth. The truth is what we really are. We must expose ourselves to the truth. So God kept looking as if He was looking at his eyes and asking him again, do you really want to be made well? Are you sure you want to get up, be an active member of this society, of this church? Do you want to really be a good helping hand in your church and your community? Or do you enjoy lying down and be like self-satisfied with what you have? Then of course he told him, sir, you know the whole story that I wish to be healed. And God told him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. If you look at this miracle, it is really an amazing miracle. And if you think about this, it has been almost 2,000 years since the Lord Jesus performed this miracle. And in spite of the best efforts of medical science, we cannot even come close to duplicating this kind of power. We spend millions of dollars every year developing new treatments for spinal cord injuries and multiple sclerosis and muscular dystrophy, but we can't even come close to the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to make a healing like this one. In two short sentences, the Lord Jesus showed the kind of healing power that mankind without God can only dream about. It is also interesting that the Lord never asked him, if you believe in me or not. I'm just looking at your eyes and at your heart. Do you want to be made well? Are you ready? Are you accepting my offer to you? And that is really amazing to me and to many, that people left the healing power. They left the miracle, the great miracle of somebody who was lying sick for 38 years. They forgot all of this and they remembered only one thing. What is it? Was done on the Sabbath. You are ignoring the whole power of God in healing and loving this sinful man. And now looking at that, he did it on the Sabbath. They tell you it's not lawful. And they even stop the man. How could you walk on the Sabbath? You should not. So what are you saying? I have been resting for 38 years. 38 years. You don't give me that chance to get up and walk on a day when God came into my life and went through and gave me that healing. Does that make any sense? Just to give you an idea of how the Jews until today, they look at the Sabbath. They have a book called the Mishnah. And you can buy this book from Amazon.com for about $25. And the Mishnah has a list of 39 things that you cannot do on the Sabbath. Please listen to a few that I just selected for you, and you will see how they want to go around the teaching of the Bible. It does say in there, in that book, the Mishnah, that you are not allowed to carry anything on the Sabbath with your hands or with your bosom or with your shoulders. But it also says that if you carry something on the back of your hand, if you carry it on the back of your hand or with your foot or with your mouth or in the hem of your shirt, then you are not guilty of breaking the Sabbath because you are carrying it in an abnormal way. One of my favorite rules in that book, it says you are not allowed to put vinegar in your mouth to soothe a toothache on the Sabbath, because that would be a forbidden act of healing, and you are not allowed to heal anyone on the Sabbath. But listen to what's coming. They said, if you put vinegar in your food, and in the act of eating your food, your toothache went away, then it was okay. Just to go around the rule. If you drink the vinegar, it's not okay. If you put it in your food and eat it, it is okay. It's really a way to go around the teaching of God. They went to the litter, and as you know, the litter kills, and the spirit make us live. So to make the long story short, the Jewish leaders, they wanted to go around the rules in the Bible, even to the healing of someone who was sick for 38 years. And when they stopped the sick man, they told him, who was the one who healed you? He said, I don't know. Then God met him in the temple. And here is something that shows the point of my story. When God saw him, he said, see, you have been made well, sin no more, lest a worse thing will come upon you. That's very strange. God healed many people before, he raised many from the dead before, but he never told anyone, sin no more. And he did not even say, sin no more, and stopped. He said, lest, there is a warning here, there is something more worse will come to you. Something very bad will come. Of course, you know that the verse after, the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. And look what happened. He stirred up the Jews. It says, for this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. So God was right. He knew that he is a sinful man and his sin will not stop. But still, now look at the other positive point, God's love for the sinner. I will still come into your life. I will still stretch my hand to heal you and give you the chance, so no one will come at the last day and say, you did not give me the chance. God will say, no, I did give you the chance. Go back and look what I did in your life. I give you yourself, your mind, your body, your physical status, your financial status, your health. I give you all of that. So for you to come back and say, God, you did not give me a chance, no. Even if you are a sinner, you must trust that God is working in you day and night, 24/7, and he will never ever stop working to heal you and bring you back. And here you may wonder, is there any relationship between sin and illness? You ought to know that illness has come to the humankind after having sinned. It was never mentioned that Adam and Eve were sick before falling to Satan. Right? Not even for a day. Illness could be, but not always, could be a punishment from God. The paralyzed man in our story today was sick due to sin. And just to give you another good example of that man, you know from the church tradition, when Saint Mary died and they were carrying her coffin, going to bury her, he stopped the coffin and he put his two hands, two arms, trying to push the coffin to fall on the ground. And what happened? his arm were cut off of his body and stuck to the coffin. And the disciples were praying and asking for God's forgiveness through the intercession of Saint Mary, and his arms went back. That was the same person. So the warning of God was not in vain. It was true warning that man was sinful, but God still came to him, trying to teach him a lesson, to try to tell every one of us that no matter how sinful you are, I am still here. I love you, I died on the cross for you. Just wake up and know the truth about my love to you. Illness could be also a natural result of sin. For example, adultery, alcohol, smoking, etc. could lead to a number of illness. Therefore, St. James commands us in chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, and says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the priest of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." When God cured the man that was carried by four people, and they dropped him from the roof of the house, the first thing that God did is, he told him, "Son, your sins are forgiven you," as was written in Mark 2. When people start to talk, he told him, "Get up and arise and take your bed." The same way, number one, that we could be ill and sick because of our sins. And that's why God cares so much about our spiritual life, about our everlasting life. Eternity is number one. So every one of us should examine himself, because sin is an illness in itself. Our Lord teaches us in Mark 2:17, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." We must examine ourselves every single day, especially right now during the Great Lent, and see if we are living according to God's commandments. I just heard about a young man in Ohio, and he was shot and killed. You never know when you will leave earth, but we know that if we are believing in God 100%, that when we leave earth, we will be with him, not somewhere else. You must trust in the love of God for you, no matter how sinful you are or what it takes. You examine yourself and come back. Come back to him, not to go around the rules as the Jewish leaders did. The symptoms of sin are similar to the symptoms of illness. Illness is very painful, and sin troubles our conscience and harms our minds and our body. And tell you the truth, that illness, as you know, is contagious. Also, sin is contagious. Is it really? Yes. Biblical proof, the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, "Evil company corrupts good habits." So yes, it is contagious. Let's think about the scripture today. Let's examine ourselves. Let's look at what's happening. That if you really want to be made well, remember that question and keep it in your mind every moment of your life from now on. You know that God loves you. You trust that he did. He died on the cross for you. So all what it takes that you remind yourself of that question: do you want to be made well? If the answer is yes, let's get back to our life with God. Let's abide by his commandments. Let's read the Bible. Let's pray. Let's fast. Let's come to church, take communion before the reading of the gospel. Let's be the true children of God. Right now, as you know, lots of problems are happening in our community and our society. And this is the time that you ought to show God how much you love him and you stand by his side. We received an email on our Yahoo group about Oprah Winfrey, for example, and how much this lady is talking now against God. She is renouncing God, is talking against him. Something very sad. She thought after this millions of dollars and millions of people who are watching her TV show, she can attract them away from God. This is the time for us that we stand by God. You know, the homosexuals are making a day on Friday, the 25th of April. They call it Das Day. Das for Day of Silence Day. Thank God this is a Good Friday, and I ask you, if you will not attend the church, please do not let your children go to the school and like participate. They have a big agenda to push the teaching of homosexuality. If your kids are in school on that day, that means we're agreeing to their teaching, which is completely against the gospel and against God's teaching. I talked about this in Arabic and in English before in two different sermons in Bible study. Even McDonald's, a couple of days ago, I received an email from AFA, the American Family Association, that says the CEO of McDonald's is having an aggressive agenda to support homosexuals. I said, my God, even that fast food restaurant where our children will go, buying from them means supporting the homosexuals. I said to myself, I hope you share with me, we will stop and have a good stand against those people who are against God. If you remember, I talked to you before about Ford, and I received like an email a few days ago that Ford stopped their agenda to support homosexuals because of the loss in profit. Because we had a good stand. I've been talking to everyone I know of that we should not buy cars from Ford. How we do it, I ask you please today when you go home, read chapter 25 from the book of Numbers, where you hear about the story of the priest Phinehas, when he found a man and brought like a person who is not Israelite, and they went inside the church, inside the temple to commit adultery, and they start to have all the wrong things inside the church. God brought a big plague on the Israelites. When Phinehas went after the man and the woman and he killed them, what happened? The plague was lifted up, and God said to Moses, Phinehas had my zeal, he was jealous as I am for myself and for my people. And because of him, I lifted up the plague. And because of him, I'm going to bless him and bless all his inheritance. Please read the book of Numbers chapter 25 to know that this is a time where we all must stand beside God. Does God need my stand? Yes, he does. He's your father. Imagine if your father at home and he's in need of your help and you do not. How would he feel about this? So let's be truthful. Whatever you do to yourself in human nature and act, you must do the same for God because he is your heavenly father. Please let's get ourselves back to show that we are the true Christian who are standing before God. We are his true image and likeness. We are his disciples and apostles here on earth to preach his name and glorify his name now and forever and ever. Amen.